Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in your pew there. Love to have you turn with us in Matthew chapter 28. And a wonderful Sunday morning we celebrate as Resurrection Sunday, the day in which we celebrate Jesus Christ rising from the dead. He stayed in that tomb. It was died and buried in that tomb and then rose again the third day and is alive forevermore in heaven. Amen. Sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And so, this morning, and it's a great day to be in God's house, an exciting day. And over the years, and over the last couple of years especially, it's been a great day because many people have come to know Christ on this day. And very thankful. Maybe you here are here this morning and you accepted Christ as your Savior on Easter Sunday, or Resurrection Sunday, as we call it. And it was 6 years ago today that I preached first sermon here on staff of Tabernacle Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. 6 years ago, actually this Wednesday was the first service I was in, but first sermon I preached was Easter Sunday, and I was so excited about it. And praise the Lord, and we were so excited. We had 25 people. Amen. Sunday night, we had 3 people. But amen. But we were thankful, but it's grown much since then. And we're thankful for that. And the Lord has done that. In Matthew 28 this morning in verses 1 through 9, we've come together to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of our lives, we have heard the word resurrection. Or maybe you're here this morning, it's the first time you've heard that. But what does it mean? It may mean different things to different people, but what does it really mean? Resurrection in the simple sense means this, means to make alive that which was dead. But how? How did this happen? Obviously, humanly speaking, we know that we cannot come back from the dead physically. When we die, when we breathe our last, we can't come back of our own power. We can't will ourselves out of the grave again. We can say, well, I just want to be alive again. We know, humanly speaking, that doesn't happen. However, one man did, however, come back from the dead, and that was Jesus Christ. We know that Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus. We know that others were, but Jesus, of his own power and the power of his Father, came back from the dead. And Jesus, however, was not just a man. He was the Son of God. And we say was. He still is, amen? He still is the Son of God. He is still alive today. But Matthew 28 outlines this passage for us, in this passage, the resurrection of Christ. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew 28 and verses 1 through 9 this morning, and you follow along as I read this morning. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know what ye seek, Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And when they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessing. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the time and remembrance of the raising of your Son from the dead. We thank you that Jesus Christ died for us. He did not deserve to die, but he died in our place, became sin for us, so that we might not have to pay sin's terrible price. And Lord, I pray if any here this morning, they have not accepted Christ as their Savior, they do not know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Maybe they have gone to church, but they have never trusted in you and had a relationship with you. I pray that they would do that today. Lord, I pray for those of us who are saved this morning, that this message would be an encouragement to us, that our Lord is not dead, that he is not in the grave, but he is risen and lives forevermore to make intercession before thy throne. I pray that you would bless our time together. Give me the power to preach this morning. I cannot speak. This message is not mine. But Lord, I pray that you would give me the right words, and I pray that you would bring lost sinners to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The risen Savior. The title of the message this morning, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Sang a song not long ago, here just a few minutes ago, a hymn, Up from the Grave He Arose. I just love that song because it builds the anticipation in the verse part of it. And, you know, low in the grave he lays, very subdued, but then up from the grave he arose. That's an exciting thing, isn't it? That he rose from the dead, that he lives forevermore. But why? Why did Jesus rise from the dead? What does it mean that he rose? He was resurrected to life again. What does that mean? Well, we're going to look at three things this morning, the three P's of the resurrection. And so we first look at this morning that the plan of the resurrection, the plan of the resurrection. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? Was it just a thing that happened? Was it something that just was by accident or something that was an afterthought of God? No. It had nothing to do with the alignment of the planets, had nothing to do with natural phenomena, and had nothing to do with man at all. It was the plan of God. Yes, that's right. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was planned. In the past, God knew man needed salvation. Amen. Ever since the garden, God has known that man has needed salvation. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God and partook of that fruit that God said not to. Remember that fruit that had no special powers to it. That fruit was just like another fruit, but with it, the knowledge of good and evil, what it was to disobey God. They already know, had the knowledge of the good. God had given them that. They had everything perfect. They were without sin. There was no pain, no sickness, no dying, no violence. There was nothing depraved in their body at all, or in their mind, or in their heart, because they had been created perfectly by God. When God had finished creating, he said, everything was what? It was very good. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't create first things that have flaws, and he did it. He didn't create any flaws in Adam and Eve, but they believed the devil, that old serpent. He came and he beguiled Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. The Bible says that. Adam was not deceived, and he partook of that fruit, disobeying God. Now they had the knowledge of the good and the holy and the just that God had given to them. Now they knew what it was to disobey God. And the Bible says their eyes were opened. And it wasn't a gift like the devil said it was. Ever since then, we reap the consequences today. Every time you pick up the newspaper and you see the bad news there, you can thank Adam and Eve for that. That's the consequences. There has never been any one decision by man that has had such far-reaching consequences. Because of that, because as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, the Bible says. So this morning, God knew that man needed saving, and so he planned the resurrection. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. You can listen instead of turning there. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Eternal life. Promise before the world began. That's how long the plan of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ had been planned. It was no accident. It was the part of the plan of God. The resurrection must take place so that man can be saved. As though, Pastor, I understand what you're saying, that Jesus needs to rise from the dead, but I can be saved without the resurrection. How? Well, I'm good enough. The Bible says, not of works that any man should boast. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we could work our way to heaven, that's not a gift then, is it? Well, I said, I have salvation today, but I might lose it tomorrow. Then it's not eternal life. Jesus needed to rise from the dead in order for our souls to be saved. Jesus paid the sin's penalty, but sin and death needed to be defeated, and that's what the resurrection is. And we'll look at that in just a minute. What does man need to be saved from? May we ask? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. The resurrection was no accident. It was all part of God's plan. Now, if we think about something for a minute, if resurrection means to bring to life that which was dead, Jesus died. He didn't swoon. He didn't go unconscious. He died on that cross. He gave up the ghost. He died and was buried. He was taken by Joseph of Arimathea and by Nicodemus and taken and bound and placed in a borrowed tomb. It was not Jesus. He did not buy it, but Joseph was a freshly hewn tomb for himself when he died. But he laid Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. What does it mean man needs to be saved? Well, resurrection means to bring back to life that which was dead. If the resurrection was planned, then the death of Christ also had to be planned, and it was. It is true that even the death of Christ was planned, and this is why he came to earth. John chapter 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21 is important. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So this morning, John chapter 3, what is this? Jesus, these are the words of Jesus himself, speaking to Nicodemus. And what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? He must be born again. Well, what does that mean? We'll get to that in a minute. The resurrection of Christ was planned because the death of Christ was planned. Christ came to die and suffer for you and for me. Now that we know the resurrection was planned, who rose from the dead? Jesus rose from the dead, but who is he? Some people don't know who he is. I was talking to someone a couple of years ago, and I was talking to a person, and I said, well, I'm from Tabernacle Baptist Church. Oh, a church. And so I'm come to share with you the love of Jesus Christ. He was, well, I really don't know who Jesus is. A sad thing. I was able to share with him Jesus. He didn't get saved that day, but I was able to share with him from the Bible who Jesus was. So let's look at the second P. The first is the plan of the resurrection. Second is the person of the resurrection. Jesus Christ. And this is his official royal title. Jesus the Christ. He has other titles. Emmanuel, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. But who is Jesus? Perhaps it would help us to see who Jesus is not. Because some people have some funny ideas about who Jesus was or who he is. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ is not a curse word. As people like to use his name, unfortunately, and blaspheme his name. Not a curse word. He's not just a good man, though he is a man. Not just a good man. That's what some people said. That's what the Jews said of him. Oh, he's just a prophet. He's just a righteous man. He's just a good man. He is just a man. He was not just a man. Third, he was not just a prophet. Oh, he's just a prophet like Elijah or Elisha or Isaiah or the other prophets. But remember, he was not just a man. He was not just a teacher, though he taught. Also, some people say, well, Jesus Christ, he was a fake. He's a figment of people's imagination. Oh, he is alive. He is real. He is not a fake. And he did not have an earthly father. So what does that mean? What do you mean he did not have an earthly father? This will explain, this is however who Jesus is. He is the very Son of God, because he said he was. He is also the Messiah. Christ is the Greek form of the word Messiah, the promised one, the deliverer of man from his sin. The Hebrew word for Jesus, of Jesus, is Joshua, deliverer, the promised Messiah, 100% God and 100% man. That doesn't make 200%. What was he? He was the very Son of God, deity, robed in human flesh without sin. Jesus Christ was the only perfect man to walk the earth besides Adam. The only one without sin. So how do we know that? It says he was without sin. The Bible does. He was born of a virgin by the miracle of God. He is a Savior of man, the sinless and perfect sacrifice. Jesus was a man and yet God in human flesh. He never sinned or told a lie. He was tempted to sin but never did sin. He was the perfect man living here on earth. Some may ask why. Why would the Son of God, the creator of all things, the master of the universe, come to earth to live in a human body like yours and mine? Why? Why would he do that? Why did he die? Why did he rise again? It's not natural to rise from the dead after being buried. Why did he have to do this? That brings us to the third P, the purpose of the resurrection. Why? The purpose of the resurrection. There was a simple purpose in the resurrection, just as there was a simple purpose in his death as well. So, well, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of the resurrection? Now, I want you to take a look around this morning. Take a look around. Look around this auditorium today. Take a look at your friends or family, even perfect strangers. Take a look around this morning. The purpose of the resurrection is for you. Every single person in here today, he rose again for you so that you might be saved. Saved from what? You may be confused. What do you mean I am the purpose for his resurrection? Simply this, you are in need of saving. You are in need of the resurrection. Resurrection means to make alive that which was dead. Every person who has ever been born since Adam and Eve is dead. As a pastor, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sitting here, I'm alive right now. Yes, you're alive physically, but you're spiritually dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in what? Trespasses and sin. Maybe thinking, I'm a preacher, you're crazy. I'm not dead. You are dead spiritually if you're lost in your sin without Christ. The Bible says so. I don't say that. The Bible says so. God says so. You may be alive physically for the moment, but you are in line for death. Every person has sinned. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned. All means all, everyone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Coming short of that perfect and high and holy standard. The standard for entering into heaven is perfection. Not one sin, not one blemish on you. That is perfection in order to get to heaven. And guess what? Everyone's fallen short of that. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we realize we've fallen short of God's perfection, God's holiness, and God's justice. All of us have fallen short. Some people say, well, I have never sinned, I've never lied, I've never done any of that. You know what the Bible calls you? A liar. You're a liar. Because everyone has. You're not honest with yourself, you're not being honest with God. I have never sinned. It's a lie. You sinned right there by saying that you've never sinned. You're a sinner now, if you weren't before. You may be alive physically for the moment, but everyone has sinned. Since everyone has sinned, this creates a dire problem. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 is a very important verse. Let's turn over there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Right here is a very important verse for us to understand. That Jesus died, bled, and suffered. And we looked at that on Wednesday night. Why Jesus was crucified was to fulfill prophecy for one thing, but this was the only way that mankind can be saved. This is a life exchange. Now, if some of us were here today and we got in a terrible car accident and that we lost a lot of blood and we went to the hospital and we got a transfusion of blood, because we, in order to stay alive, we need blood. The Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it was by the blood of Jesus Christ we're saved. So in order for you to remain alive, you need life that has been given by somebody else. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So literally a blood transfusion, if you think of it that way, is literally giving you life so that your body can remain living, can keep going. Jesus, in order to fulfill the law of God required a life for a life. And the only way that we can pay for our sin is death, not only physically, that's why death has come upon all men, but also the second death, as Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death is what happens to us, to our soul and spirit in hell for all of eternity, due to our sin. That is the justice of God. And some say, well, God, that's it. God's a ugly and hateful God. I don't believe in your God because he sends lost people to hell. Wait a minute. You don't have to go there. Lost people don't have to go there. For he says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will for everyone. He wants them to be saved, but some people will not be saved. But this morning, you're going to hear something very important. If you're not saved this morning, listen very closely. Jesus wants to save you right now, this morning. He bled and suffered and died for you. He rose again for you. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. We see something here that is the dire condition of all mankind. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Wages, of course, we know is something that is earned. All of us earn a wage. If we work a job, then, or maybe we work for the army or we work another job, then we get paid to do that. We earn a wage for the work that we have done. Maybe some people, they work hourly jobs. I used to work two hourly jobs, and I would get paid for the hours that I worked. I earned that money. It was something that I deserved. It was something that I had earned in exchange for an action that I had done. So the wages of sin, what is sin? It's the transgression of the law, breaking the law of God, lying, stealing, cheating, the Ten Commandments, plus many more, transgressing the holiness and the law of God. So the wages of sin, if we have sinned, we have earned something. We have earned death. Physical death, yes, but also spiritual death. The second death, as Revelation 20, verse 14 tells us, the second death, and that is in the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire for all of eternity because of our sin. And every person in here is in this dire condition. So, Pastor, that's not really good news. We came here to get an encouraging message on Easter morning, on resurrection morning. Well, here's the good part. Look at the rest of the verse. Here's some good news. But the gift of God. Now, a gift is something that we don't deserve. It's not something that we've earned. It is not something that we can work enough to get. You know, when someone gives us a gift, it's usually not because of any particular reason except that they care about us, right? We give our kids gifts, not because they've earned them necessarily, especially some of our kids definitely haven't earned them, but we give them to them because we love them, amen? Because we care about them. We give a gift to someone because it's a showing that we care about them. And Jesus Christ wants to give you a gift this morning. God the Father wants to give you a gift this morning because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that is Jesus the Christ, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's quite a gift. Eternal life. Life without end. Life with God forever in heaven. Eternal life. Life without end. No more sin, no more death, illness, or any of those things. We'll have those in this life, but in the next, eternal life. Remember, if we're saved, we have no need to fear death. Death just means we're going to see Jesus. Amen? Nothing to fear. Nothing to be worried about. But here we see something, that the gift of God is eternal life through the church. So, Pastor, it doesn't say that. It's through good works. That's right, through good works. No, it doesn't say that. Through baptism. Doesn't say that either. Through, you fill in the blank. Anything else? What does it say? Through Christ Jesus. Who? Our Lord. So is it through anything else? No. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have the bad news. We have the good news. How do we get from being in that place of our lost condition, dead in our trespasses and sins? Through Jesus Christ, we are resurrected from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. That's what Ephesians 2:1 says. And you hath he quickened, meaning made alive, resurrected, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So are you a sinner here today in need of salvation? Because God is holy, he must judge sin. He must judge it. So now we know the reality of our condition. We know the message of today, the purpose why Jesus came to die, the reason that he was killed on that cross, the reason he shed his blood. In order for you to be saved, because you deserve to hang there, he became sin for us. He took on him every single sin. All of us have committed sin. Every single sin that we've ever committed, Jesus bled and suffered and died to pay for those sins. All of our lying, all of our stealing, all of our blaspheming, Jesus died and paid for it so you wouldn't have to. Hebrews 2:9 says, he tasted death for every man because he loves you. Won't you accept him today? The Christian does not need to fear death, because death has no hold on a Christian. However, death does have a hold on a lost person, a person who does not know Christ. Because for a Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you're here today doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you read your Bible doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you pray doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you grew up in a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you went to Christian school doesn't make you a Christian. What does it make you a Christian? Believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from sin. That's what makes you a Christian. Do you need to be saved today? If you're here today and never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, remember, not your family Savior, not your church's Savior, but your personal Savior. Simply calling out to him in prayer and asking for forgiveness of sin. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, shall be saved. And in a minute, we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is an opportunity for you to respond to what you've heard. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ for salvation of your soul, we're going to have counselors up here in the front with a Bible to show you exactly what I showed you today, to give you an opportunity to accept Christ. We have rooms up here in the front to take care of this privately. Ladies, we have a lady standing by to talk to you. We have a gentleman standing by to talk to you. We are not going to do any hocus pocus on you or stand you up in front for all to see. That's not our goal. Our goal is to make sure that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And if you're not sure about that today, God's word gives us instructions. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If we don't repent of our sin and call upon Jesus, Jesus alone, 100%, nothing that we can do, call upon him, because remember, he's not on that cross anymore. Amen? He's bled and suffered and died. He's not on that cross. He paid sin's penalty so that we might go free. Won't you let him set you free today? Free from your sin, free from your agony, free from your despair. He can save you today. That's the purpose of the resurrection. You are. You're the purpose. So he rose again to defeat sin and death. Death is man's greatest foe. God did not create man originally to die. Because of sin, man dies now. But Jesus, in the end of all things, he will defeat the last enemy, that is death. Amen? So this morning, are you saved? If you're not, call upon him today, and we'd love to show you how. This is the purpose of the resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what men may say. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You may ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.